think they're settled. Let's all stand for a moment, please. I've never come into a service where the Lord told me who I was not speaking to. He said, you're not speaking to your pastor or the pastor's wife, but you're speaking to the flock. So the title of this message is, There's No Other Way In. And I'm always curious when the Lord says something opposite of what I'm used to thinking or feeling. And he said, there is no other way in referring to his kingdom, in reference to your calling, in reference to you coming out of sin and walking in his marvelous light, all that. He's not talking to them because they're there. But we're not where he wants us to be. We've been in a service before. I don't know if Pastor Marquise and Sister Jay remember this, where the pastor was preaching, and then there was, a prophetic utterance, and the Lord said, I will wait for them. God's waiting for us. And I don't know how to be kind. I can't even tell you the emotions I'm feeling right now, because it's like, I've heard people say, I'm struggling with this. And when I hear people say those words, it's as though that there's something that I have to handle that I'm not allowing God to do it. Because he wants to show up and show out for you, but you have to let go of what we hold on to. Let's just pray. And the title of this message is, There is No Other Way In. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, dear God, that we would really do some soul searching. That we would really consider where we are with you, Father. Because if we are not allowing you to move in our lives, how can we even try to reach the lost? Because we're still lost. Because, see, I don't want any of us in this room to come to that place where we stand before God and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Where he says, depart from me. And we're hoping and we're going through this walk with God as though we want to be ready, or that it's a consideration. This is not just a fellowship. This is a place where we have to make a commitment to God and say no to the world and say yes to him. So it's an odd place to be in. It's an odd place to be in. Thank you, Father. Before you're seated, I'm going to read a scripture in your hearing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. This is found in John. I'm sorry, the reference is not here, but it's in the book of John. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, that's a person that's responsible for letting things in and out, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And he put forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things that he spake unto them. You may be seated. The reason I find this very difficult is because something that God has spoken to me, and do you know that God doesn't care if he hurts your feelings? Have you been there yet? Where he really like, did he really just say that to me? He's like, he does not care if he hurts your feelings, just like your parents don't. He doesn't care how you feel because what he says to you is the truth. And sometimes it takes the truth to hurt you in order for you to think about what's being said. So there was a time when we, as young men, were meeting at Pastor Marquise's home. And as we were there, he said to me, and I believe I was the oldest man that was there, he says, you are like these young men. And I'm like, what? Now, see, I've lived longer for God than most of you have. But he said, but what he compared my walk at that time to the walk of the young men that were just coming into faith with God. You see, the Bible says that you are to grow in the grace, which means that whenever God has spoken to you, you have aligned yourself up with the will of God so that you might have the grace of God in your life. Does that make sense? It's just like with your parents. When your parents say, make sure you clean up your room, make sure you take out the trash, make sure you start dinner, make sure you do these responsibilities, and once you've done them, there's a favor that your parents will have for you. They will open up doors for you. They'll show you, they'll give you things, they'll do things for you without you even considering that they don't have to do it, but they want to do it. So the Bible says, grow in grace, in the knowledge of, and the grace and favor. In order for us to receive the grace of God, we have to walk in obedience. And see, the thing about it, I can't teach something I have not experienced. It's, you know, I've stood up here, and even today it feels so strange in this house. When I say it feels strange, it's like there's some unwanted guests here. It feels like I brought my problems with me. It feels like I brought my sin with me. It feels like I brought some heavy stuff with me that I wasn't willing to let go of. I brought some struggle in here. I brought some unwanted guests in here. And when I'm saying unwanted guests, let me be very clear. Sometimes some of us are tormented out in our lives, and we bring that right into the sanctuary. And that torment, that thing that's coming against your mind and your heart was causing you to vacillate between wanting to serve God and not wanting to serve God comes along with you into the house of God. Because it wasn't important enough to get here in order to pray first. Because see, when you pray first, you're shedding some things. When you shed some things, it means that God's spirit can flow and speak to you in a different way. Some of us don't know what it's like to be completely free. And because you don't know, you have never stepped into that role where God is really able to bless you. Because, and I say this only as a testimony, not because of my own life, but because of what God has spoken to me when I prayed with some of us. When I prayed with you, the Lord, I literally was praying with someone, and the Lord, I went like this, and the Lord showed me behind this person that there was all kinds of blessings and things that he wanted to do, but he could not do it because there were other people or situations in that person's life that hindered the work of God in their life. So you have to understand there's some things that you have to shed. Some old ways of thinking that will not allow us to go into our promise. And when I say our promise, God knew what this church needed long before we got in these seats. I wish you had been really aware and had been there when Pastor Marquise and Sister Jay were asked to leave the church that we were going to and spend time and watch. Because, see, it means something to me because I was there then when people did not understand why they had to make those choices and stay out of church for, was it a year? For a period of time. And during that time, they were spoken about, they were talked about, and people were wondering, what are they doing, not knowing that they were being consecrated to start a ministry. And sometimes you don't understand the things that you're going through in your walk with God. And sometimes you feel it so hard that you feel like you can't make it, But you've got to understand that he's just doing that so that you will shed the old man. See, there's some things that you won't let go of until they become painful. There's some things that you won't leave alone, or ways of thinking that you possess in your spirit and in your mind, because you don't think anything's wrong with it. You've become so accustomed to the old man that you think that that's your identity. I keep meeting men who are involved with women, whether they are married to them or not, and they will do anything for that woman, even if it's above the things that God asked them to do. You might say, that sounds strange, that doesn't make sense. I'm talking about men that are so loyal to a woman, and I'm not disrespecting the fact that you may have a wife, but if your wife comes before God, you're out of order. If what she says and what she thinks is elevated above what God says and what God thinks, you're out of order. And God cannot bless anything that's not in his order. It's painful to think that God wants to bless you, but he already knows that when he blesses you, you're going to take that blessing and put it in front of his face and say, God, I can't do for you what you want me to do because of your blessing. The Lord gave me a word for a young lady in this church. And I was so surprised, because I always ask the Lord, Lord, why did you want me to say that? And I didn't know this, but if you're a woman and you don't have a husband, you really, really, really need to pray to God to send a man in your life that is not a boy, that is not a child in his thinking, nor a young, how can I say this? Because there are so many women raising boys to become men, they are not really the kind of men that they're supposed to be. Because, see, they never learned to put God first. And you think that you can join yourself to this man and not and believe he's going to serve or love you or protect you or provide for you, but you're still with a boy. I don't know why this is so painful. Because, see, what hurts is when you put your hope in something and he looks like a man, he has a job, he has a way of providing, but he's been raised by a mother who taught him to serve a woman more than to serve the living God. And so these men that I met, they came through those doors and they sat in the church, but when something was disrupted, they didn't know to hold on to God. They got up and they fled this house because they served the creature more than the creator. In our pursuit or in our walk with God, if you're not careful, you'll serve yourself before you serve God. You'll serve your pleasure. The Bible says that in the New Testament, it says they are those that love pleasure more than they love God. You can't love your own pleasure more than you love God. What's your pleasure? Your devices. The things that you love to do. And you say, well, everybody has something they struggle with. That's your excuse to keep struggling with it. You can't say you know the power of God if you've never been delivered from anything. Will you continue your entire walk with God saying, well, that's just the way that I am. I just can't get rid of this temper. I just can't get rid of this attitude. I just can't stop serving my family. When I was younger, there's a young lady, it was so funny, in my high school yearbook, someone wrote, someday I believe you're going to have a business. And see, that's just a small thing, right? Small thing. But see, you have to understand words plant seeds or thoughts in your mind. And if you pursue that rather than pursuing God, you'll spend all your effort and time trying to serve something, serve out something in your life that wasn't of God. God wants you to pursue him so that he could not only give you that, but also make this whole. Because if you're not whole and he blesses you, you're going to destroy it anyway. And you don't, if you don't know what that's like, it says, you see, this is a walk where we have to self-examine, examine your own hearts and say, Lord, am I living for you or am I living for myself? You got to ask that question. Lord, am I living for my family or my family's family? Because of some people in the past have been involved in their families to such an extent that they don't even see God anymore. So connected. And I know what I'm saying to you sounds weird. It's like, doesn't God want us to have a family? Yes, but he doesn't want you to make your family an idol. Because he can't be second to anything. So I'm going to take you back to John. And the reason that this was, I found this passage of scripture so disturbing was that because he said, you're trying to come to me in a different way. You're trying to come to me without sacrifice. You're trying to come to me without being devoted. You're trying to come to me without praying. You have this expectation of me, but no expectation of yourself. Have you ever been there? I'm working a building full of people that's, I'm sorry, a story just came to my mind that Sister Jay was sharing with the house, and she said that the homeless that they were feeding said, you gave us gumbo, but I wanted crab meat in it and mussels, and you're homeless? And someone's giving you something that you have to pay nothing for, and you're making demands on it? You see, I'm like the homeless people. You see, when God wanted to bless me, I wanted him to bless me the way I wanted to be blessed. Not caring what he wanted to do, but caring more so than what I wanted. I want you to see how sick it really is. Because, see, there's a man that came to me and said, you know, the Lord put on my heart to bless you with a brand new suit. And I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, I look back at what I have, and I have suits. I don't need nothing more. I don't need nothing else. You know what that shows me? That you could be satisfied with what you have and not really want God. What that shows me, and it was so odd because they didn't even know when they came to get me. It was a meeting, and I was supposed to meet them at this restaurant, and we got in the parking lot. They said something that God did not let me forget their words. You could always tell when it's God when you don't forget it. When something is said to you and you don't forget it. So what they said to me says, Brother Murray, you just need to follow. Learn to follow. I was like, did they just say that to me? You mean all these years I haven't learned to follow yet? Yes, I've been following my own heart, but not necessarily the heart and the will of God. Now, see, I'm not up here for pretending or for pretense because I'm not trying to impress anybody in here. I'm trying to be saved. And I don't care how much it hurts me to tell the truth or how embarrassed I might try to be. That's not what I'm about. I'm about being saved. So I don't care how painful that is, because the truth will set you free. That's what you have to remember. Not your truth, but God's truth. So these men took me into the store, and they said, but God put on our heart to bless you with the suit. And in my mind, the whole time, I couldn't see the blessing. I'm sitting there saying, well, I got suits already. I have enough already. And I couldn't see the blessing in it. I tried it on, to appease them. You ever had somebody give you a spiritual instruction and you just do what they say because not because it's in your heart to do it? Come on now. They say you need to fast. Okay, I'll fast. But in your heart, you really didn't want to. And see, whenever you recognize what God is trying to promote or do in your life is not what you want, that's when you need to pray for your heart to change. He's trying to give you an example of what your heart is really like when he says, I want you to do this. And you say, but I don't want to do that. Then you need to change your heart, not his will, not his word, not what he wants to do. Because if you keep doing that, you'll be like the children of Israel that could not enter in. See, we want to go to heaven, don't we? Don't we want for him to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and all you know how to do is serve yourselves? You have to understand that he's not playing with us. So I go through the process reluctantly. I don't have space in my closet for another suit. Never thinking that maybe he wants you to give away some suits. Maybe he wants you to do something different. Oh, and then it's amazing when you have a wife or someone that sees you on a day-to-day basis and she says, Eric, I think the Lord wants you to thin out your closet. It's almost like someone saying to you, make room for your blessing. Get rid of some things. Give some things away. Do something different so you can make room to be blessed. But no. I kept everything as it was. Tight. No room for a blessing. And so the suit, I tried the suit on. It fits. I'm okay. And then they wouldn't be satisfied with that. Now we're getting shirts. What? I don't have enough shirts. I have enough ties. I have enough of this and that. I have enough stuff. So much stuff that you don't see the blessing when God is giving it to you. Because you have so much stuff in your life, you can't see what God's doing anymore. So much stuff. You gotta thin things out. You gotta give things away. When you outgrow some things, you gotta give them away. Don't keep them for when you reduce in size. My head must have swelled since I started preaching because I can't get into a 16 for nothing. I start choking myself to death. So I gotta get rid of some stuff. And so it wasn't enough to not understand how not to receive the blessing. You see, you got to understand something. If you can't receive from God, who's going to do anything for you? Come on. You literally have to be taught to receive? Doesn't make sense, does it? When you think you have enough, when you think you're enough. Oh, I can go buy me a suit if I want one. No, God didn't. That's not how God works. Because, see, when I buy a suit, I put it in my closet, and nobody hears about it. But when God blesses me a suit, there's a testimony behind it. God literally moved upon someone else's heart to do something for you. And when it was done for you, it confirms the word of God that's been preached to you. What do you mean the word of God's preached to you? The one that says that God will move upon men's heart to bless you. How can he be true if you're doing it all for you? How does he get any glory from you? Because he said he doesn't need you. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. He takes no pleasure in what you can do. Because he can't get glory when you're doing it all for yourself. So he loves it when your back is against the wall. Whoa, tearing people's stuff up. When your back is against the wall and you say, Lord, and then you say, Lord. If it takes that you get backed up against the wall and you cry out to God, I pray that you get there soon. Because you're so self-sufficient. All the things that the world has taught you that you need to be is a lie in God's presence. Be self-sufficient. The old saying, be one of those people, I pulled myself up with my own bootstraps. People always have these self-reliant statements that they make, and it's totally against the word of God. At all stuff. Stop that, sister. At all stuff. They're like, what does that mean? What would you interpret that? It tells you how old I am. This old crap that people cause you to believe so that you would be self-sufficient and not God-dependent. And when you're not dependent on God, it's getting hard to be a Christian. Because you have no one to testify about what God has done in your life. He's looking to be seen. He really is. He's wanting to be seen because, see, there's no other way to glorify God if no one sees him in you. Because he is not here. So if they don't see it in you, that means they will not see it. That puts a great responsibility on you in lining up with the will of God so that you stop being seen as someone who's self-sufficient, but you're someone that says that God supplies all of his needs according to his riches and glory, and sometimes those riches and glory are you. Layer two. Turn the page. Page two. Why does the Lord give us dreams? The Bible says that the God that we serve chooses to speak to his people through dreams and through visions. So I get a call from this pastor friend I know. And I call him pastor and friend because sometimes he's a friend and sometimes he's a pastor. He fills those roles in my life. And sometimes he holds my neck tight. And he says, the Lord gave me a dream. And, you know, whenever he says, the Lord gave me a dream, there was a time where I go, oh. But now I go, what did God say? Why? Because the Bible says, love instruction. And this is what really got me. The Lord has taught me to appreciate the people in my life, and this is one way he does it. He changes the way I think about how they minister to me. How does he minister to me? He says, God gave me a dream, and God wants me to share that dream with you. And when I got the dream, I cared enough about your soul that I took it into prayer. And I prayed and asked God to help me understand it. And when he began to share it with me, I realized again, as I have in the past, that you can't hide from God. Not that I've been trying to hide. It's just that you're hiding without knowing you're hiding. There's a young lady here who I keep referring to young ladies because the Lord allows me to speak to them quite often. And it was so interesting to me because I'm saying this not to point a finger at her, but how intricate God is. See, if we're not careful, I can meet a woman or a woman can meet a man and we think we can change them to our liking. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. So you be careful how you pray for someone to come into your life, because if he gives you what you're asking for, you might find yourself on the not receiving end. Because, see, you might be you may be someone that needs a correction. And he brings you someone that's stern and always telling you what to do. And he says, I don't want another daddy. But you prayed for someone to help you. You prayed for someone to give you balance. And you're unbalanced without God. And so he'll bring a man that's different than you, that thinks different than you, that acts different than you. And you're saying, like, oh. He was cute, but he acts like he's my daddy. See, some women don't like men that tell them what to do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody does need a daddy, but you got to pick the right one. Amen. Don't choose somebody according to your voids. Don't choose someone according to your lack. Because, see, there's a lot of pressure that a woman can put on a man or a man can put on a woman if he lacks something that he needs from her. Because you will go through seasons in your life where that person that you rely on, will not be able to meet that need. And you will regret, and you will resent, and you will come to the place where you actually hate them because they're not meeting your need. So stop praying about your need and say, Lord, give me what I need. You see, when the Lord brings it, he knows what you have need of before you ask. So therefore, when he brings someone in your life, it's going to be the right mix, the right match, the right person. But if you're picking it, well, he looks good, he looks strong, I might enjoy him for a season. And you know you're falling after your lust. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes, he's speaking to all these people. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I was talking to someone earlier, and she said that there's a lot of things coming towards me. And the Lord showed me she was in a season where people were coming to her. And when God sends people to you, he's trying to teach you how to discern between good and evil. Good being someone that will enhance your life, evil being someone that will take from you. I'll leave that alone. Taking from you, meaning that the enemy sent them. The enemy can send someone to you. You may not believe that, but just as God can send people into your life to enhance your life, to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, the enemy can also bring people into your life to take from you. And it doesn't just mean money. It can also mean your time. It can take your mind from you. I know a brother that I was talking to him. I said, you know what? The Lord showed me. And see, he hasn't been around me long enough to really believe what I said. But I said, your brother is here. But the Lord said that he's nothing more than a distraction. And I was talking to the brother, and he was saying, I can tell by his countenance that he did not receive what I said. But the distraction became a mental distraction. Where's my brother at? Why is he not looking out for himself? What can I do to help him? Where you can actually start neglecting the things that you should be doing for yourself because your mind is on someone else. The enemy can send your family to you even though you want them to be with you, but they're not for you. That's a hard thing to hear. Why would that happen? Because God's showing you that you have a need to be a savior to your family. And you're not a savior. I wish I had multiple coats on me. And every time I said, Lord, I don't want to be anyone's savior, I could take off a coat and lay it down and leave it there. Lord, God, you don't want me to be a savior. You don't want me to be a financier for someone. You don't want me to take care of all someone's needs according to their need. Because, see, there's a time when God can move upon someone's heart to do something for you that you don't even ask for. Isn't it so miraculous that things that come to you and you didn't expect them? You didn't even pray about it, but it just came. That's how God loves you. So, back to the scripture, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, which is different temptations, knowing. See, when you go through temptations, you need to know something. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We all know that, but we don't want. But what is it like when you see somebody go through a trial and they're patient? You look at them, man, they've gone through a lot, but they're still standing. It looks good on the outside, don't it? It really looks good, but when you have to go through the trials to get to that patience, it's like, oh, my God. But there's no other way in. You hear what I'm saying? There's no easy way. If you need deliverance, there is no easy way. If your life is not the way you want it, there's no easy way. It's like everything that you need to change and to be transformed into the image of Christ is already at your disposal. It's just you think it's going to be an easier way, and that's deception. You can deceive yourself when you're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and 50, and you're standing in the same, you're the same person, never transformed, because you thought that I could find some other way to get there. There is no other way but going through the cross. And the cross, to me, reminds me of a sacrifice. The cross, to me, means that someone had to die. And either Christ has already died, so now it's your turn. It's easy to say, but not easy to do. But when you do it, you'll know the difference. You'll know when you're dead. Because your opinion won't be so great. Your will won't be so great. And others will be drawn to you. When you start dying, for some reason, God brings people around you. Not to see you die, but so because you have something to give them. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith work is patience, but let. See, this is where you come in. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, okay, in or mature, entire, complete, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. It was so hard for me not to. It was so hard when the Lord said to me, stop looking at your wife's income to provide for the needs of your home. I said, we're both working. So what he was telling me is that you were more reliant upon her getting paid on her paycheck than you were praying and asking God to provide for your household. Out of order. God has so eloquently and purposefully showed me when I was trusting in something I shouldn't trust in. Man. But that's why I got married, Lord. I'm just joking. Somebody said, sure you were. It's not in her to supply all my needs. But Lord, she's so quiet. It's not in her to supply all my needs. But Lord, sometimes she don't even want to be close to me. It's not in her to supply all your needs. You better go find you a prayer closet and pray through your feelings. Because your feelings can make you go awry. It make you want things you can't have right now. It make you say things you don't want to say. Feel things you don't want to feel. And all it takes is a cold shower. Wash away all those sins. But see, you get to these places where you want something, but you don't know how to obtain it. So rather than praying and ask God for wisdom on how to get what you want. What is that? Okay. So it says in verse 5 in James 1, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Sometimes we think our wisdom's good enough. It's not, church. Because, see, when I pray and say, God said this, it puts the light on God and takes the light off me. It puts the weight of it on God and less on me. Because I'm learning to trust in God. Amen? But even in that, you have to ask in faith. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Please, please hear me when I say this. If God has told you anything about yourself and you have not prayed about it and got a revelation about it as it pertains, how it pertains to you, you have not fulfilled your assignment. If God said you're double-minded and you don't know what double-minded means, that means that you have knowledge, but you have no wisdom and you have no understanding. And you can't walk with God like that. You see, what if God just stopped speaking and said, I've given you everything that you need already. You just have to use it. You don't think he would do that? He did it. I had a former pastor, and the Lord told him, use the wisdom I've already given you. You see, the thing about it is that we still want more. Why do you need more? And you're not willing to use what you already have. You know, I often think about 70 AD, I believe it was. The church was scattered. What if you were all scattered? And the furthest you could, you had no communication with anybody in the church, with anything, and your whole world was disrupted, what would you rely on? What word would you have in your heart? Would you pray differently if you were under those circumstances? Because you had no one you could call up, no Facebook, no telephone, no means of getting in contact with anyone. Would it take all that for you to get a hold of God for yourself? Why wait till the extreme? Why wait till you don't have access? One of the most, I'll say it this way, frightening scripture to me is when it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You mean there's going to come a time when he can't be found? You might say, oh, God's always going to be there for us. Was he always there for Judas? Because though he sought him with tears, he found no place of repentance. Sometimes we think we got all the time in the world, and you really don't. Make up your mind. The Lord kept showing me, like, I don't know what he's talked to you about in this fast. I remember there's some people I spoke to, and he says, the Lord told me to fast from TV. How many people got that word? One, two, a couple, just a couple, wow. Did anybody get to have to fast from their phone? Is it tell the truth and shame the devil? Did anybody have to fast from, you know, a relationship? Anybody? Nobody? Wow. Because, you know, if he had told you, would you have done it? Okay. Somebody said yes. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not here to scold you. I'm trying to stir up your mind. Because if you're not stirred up, if you don't realize that, and I've had the Holy Ghost for more than 25 years, but the thing about it was that I didn't know for the first 15, 20 years of my life that I could be under influence of a spirit. But you got the Holy Ghost. You know spirit can influence you? Yes, he can. If you get lazy, if you get slothful, if you don't pray every day, you can come under the influence of... I cannot tell you how many times that my family, because they're talking to me, said, Dad, but that's a lie. It's real, church. See, you think you can pray Monday and be off Tuesday, pray Wednesday and be off Thursday, pray Friday and be off Saturday. When he says, I am the branch and you are the branches, abide in me. If we're not abiding in Christ, if we're not staying connected to the vine, we really are not aware that we can somehow be influenced by the weeds that are growing up around us. If you're still listening to that secular music, the worldly music, and it's still got you bumping, watch out. Because sometimes God can make you dull. He can make you dull so that you don't hear his voice. And I don't care how many times you come up here and start speaking in tongues, but I don't feel him anymore. I've known that to happen to people. If it frightens you, it should. If it makes you think twice before you play with God. So you see, God can show you mercy and he can heal and do something supernatural for you, but don't build your relationship on that. Build your relationship on him. Not what he did for you, but who he is to you. And every time you go in his presence, if you recognize him for who he is, he can still keep delivering you out of things. But if you keep going back to, oh, he did this and he'll do more for you, you're mistaken, man, my friend. If you base your whole walk on what God's done for you in the past, you're mistaken, my friend. Because he would do it for anybody. Say this often. Let me just get right back into scripture again. For whence cometh wars, fightings among you? Come they not hence even from your lust that war in you? Something you have to understand, and God has to reveal it to you, is that, Lord, and it's just through prayer, Lord, am I still walking in the ways I did before I came to you? Have you ever asked the Lord, said, Lord, am I still walking in the ways that I did before I came to you? Because if I am, that means I'm not changing. That means I'm not being transformed into your image. That means that I still love the old and I have not departed from it. Let's stand. The Bible says old things are passed away and all things become new. But something can't pass away if you're holding on to its hand. If you're holding on to the thought. And that's where I'm at today, is getting rid of old things so that things can become new. You want your walk with God to be fresh and new? Let go of the old. Even the things that you're not familiar with. Well, Lord, we didn't ever do it like this before because it's a new thing. But Lord, I don't know how to walk this out. When you really want God, I can tell you this with all conviction, he'll be there for you. There's no doubt in my mind. I've seen it too many times. But if you don't have all of God right now, it's because you only have what you want and not what he wants for you. Can we just lift up our hands for just a moment? I had a young man come to me, and he said something to me that made me think of him differently. Because I was surprised he said it, but I knew it was God. He said, "Eric, I know why the Lord put me with you." I was like, okay, he's a co-worker, somebody I work with at a job. He said, "Because you're easily satisfied." He said, "It doesn't take much for you to be satisfied. And if you're easily satisfied, or you're satisfied where you are with God right now, how much longer will you stay like this? Because God is always moving. God is always changing. God is always transforming. He's always ready and willing to do a new thing. But if his people don't want him, that's why he has in the scripture, he says, when the Son of Man comes upon the earth, will he find faith? It takes faith to believe God for greater. It takes faith to believe God for deliverance. It takes faith to believe God can do more than what I already have or what I already possess. It takes faith for me to receive from God. And he says to the church, he says, will I find faith on the earth? Will he find it here, church? Will he find faith in you to believe that something in your life can change? To even believe that you can change? Don't just grow old and die. Let me just say that to you. Just don't have that mindset that the world has. I'm gonna work all my life and go through my life, and when I get old, I'm just going to die and hope I make it to heaven. Stop living like that. Live like there's something to live for. And see, if you live just for yourself, you don't have nothing to live for, because all you've done is become selfish. Oh, yeah, I care about people as much as they care about me. The Bible says, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Love those that don't love you. Love someone that doesn't have anything they can give you. Father, I'm simply asking you to show us where we are today in our walk with you. If we're not hungry for the things of God, that means we're being filled with something else. We've been satisfied by something else or someone else. And when you said to the church in the Revelations, you said you're increased with good. In God's eyes, you're naked. You say you have need of nothing, but God says you're poor. Lord, I want you to understand that God's heart is always towards you, but he's waiting for us to make him a priority. He's waiting on us to say, Lord, I'm sorry for how I've lived and what I've made my life more important than what the life that you wanted to give me. Change me, Lord. Help me, Father. There was a time, I'll end with this, the Lord wanted me to fast every week. I said, Lord, that's too much. He said, I want you to fast 3 days a week, every week. I said, oh, God, I'll die. I only weigh 120 now, wet, carrying weights. You want me to do it? But I never thought I would get to a place where I couldn't feel him. And I really couldn't hear him the way. And he was trying to prepare me. See, if you're not willing to sacrifice, and not because everybody else is doing it, but because of what he asked you to do, you've got to follow him no matter how it looks. There was a woman that I met recently. She was standing in a window, and she was looking outside, and she was dressed up to go out to a fancy restaurant. She got her clothes all on, had a pocketbook or her purse in her hand, and she was looking out the window, and the Lord and she felt the Holy Ghost, and the Lord said, feed him. And says, Lord, she looked at him, he was really dressed ragged. He was a homeless man on the street. And she said, Lord, why do you want me to feed him? As she's going down the steps to meet this man, and he doesn't even know that he is being pursued by this woman. And she's walking behind him, and she's asking the Lord the questions the whole time. She's being obedient because she's following him down the street. And she says, Lord, why do you want me to feed this man? And he said, feed my sheep. See, sometimes you don't even know why God is sending you to someone, but it might be one of his sheep. And he may smell like a sheep. He may be dressed ragged. But God says, feed my sheep. And she was obedient, and she took him to a store. And when the homeless guy walks in, people in the store started treating him all rude. Like, why are you in here? You need to get out of here. And she said, he's with me. And she was dressed up real nicely. And he said, oh, he's with you? Oh, okay, now we'll treat him differently. Wow. So he got the food that he wanted, and his need was provided because of God's sheep heard his voice to feed another sheep. I just pray even now, Father, that your sheep would hear your voice and walk out of darkness into your light and find the treasures and things that you have for them. In Jesus' name.